This is the podcast of Theophilus Church. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.
Today we read from 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called to him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines at Aphek. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's talk about hearing from God and how we can hear from God. A really critical aspect of following Jesus is learning to hear from God. And it's important because God speaks. And when you study the Bible, you find that God doesn't always speak the same all the time. That God sometimes speaks differently in one scenario than he does in a different scenario. I think, for example, in the New Testament, of Jesus speaking to Paul, to Saul when he was on the Damascus Road, to go persecute the church. And Jesus spoke to Paul, to Saul at the time. He spoke to him and he said, "Why do you persecute me?" Saul had an encounter with Jesus. It was immediate. It was on the spot. There was very little process. It just happened immediately. There's the Damascus Road experience. God speaks like that sometimes, and some of you have experienced that. Times in your life where God has spoken to you immediately, fast, quick, on the spot. And God also speaks differently at other times. I think of, for example, in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus is secretly and quietly walking with these two disciples who had no idea that they were walking with Jesus. And they have this long conversation in which they are starting to tell Jesus, not knowing that it's Jesus, all the things that Jesus did. And Jesus, God, plays dumb. And he listens to their whole story. And he never stops them and says, yeah, I know I was there. I hung on the cross. Thank you for preaching the gospel to me, Jesus, the Lord of the universe. He listens to the whole story. And then they eat a meal together, and all of a sudden they realize that they're eating with Jesus. And what the Emmaus Road experience is not the Damascus Road experience, because the Emmaus Road experience is that sometimes God speaks to us over a process. It doesn't happen immediately, but it's slow. It's as you walk along, God speaks to you. And there are times that God does both. There are times that God speaks to us in a Damascus Road way where God speaks just clearly. And there are times that God speaks over a long process, and it takes a long time. And it doesn't happen overnight. And you just have these moments, long, it seems like long moments, and finally you're having dinner and you realize, oh, that was Jesus the whole time. See, Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks. But Jesus doesn't always speak the same every time. But he speaks. And Jesus, whether you believe it or not, whether you've gotten really kind of pulled your faith apart, maybe this is a hard idea for you, God wants to speak to you. And some of you may sort of feel uncomfortable with that because you've seen people manipulate God's voice for their own purposes, haven't you? You've seen people use God's word or God's communication to manipulate, maybe even manipulate you to do things that they want you to do. Because everybody in this room have seen people manipulate God's word. We've all seen that happen. And we've all probably done it too. And so we've seen, maybe some of you, that's been your experience, and you get really worried about talking about God speaking to you because you're worried all of a sudden that's just going to be manipulated. It's going to be a power tool to get you to do whatever I or we want you to do. And while you may have critiques of God's voice, one fundamental truth that we've just got to agree on, we've got to agree on, church, is that God is still speaking. He is still speaking. He's speaking to us through Scripture. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through dreams. He speaks to us through intuition. He speaks to us through our consciences. He speaks to us through other people. God still speaks. Do people manipulate it? Absolutely, people manipulate it. Does God still speak? Yes. And C.S. Lewis says about alcohol, he says, the abuse of something never nullifies its original use. And his point is, just because something's abused doesn't mean that it's still not beautiful and good in itself. Alcohol can be abused, but does that mean having a glass of wine is an evil thing? No. Can God's word be misused? Absolutely it can. But God is still speaking. In the Old Testament, you would know that you are worshiping God because only God could speak. The idols could never speak to you. False gods could never speak. False gods were your own mind and your own conscience sort of puppeteering through something. You were creating a voice for yourself. An idol doesn't speak to you. God speaks. God speaks. The love of money does not speak to you. You make it speak for yourself. Any false god that you may worship, success, hedonism, pleasure, whatever false god it is, it can never speak to your soul. It can make you feel good for a little while, but it's not going to speak to your soul. You're going to just go about life dry in your spirit because only God speaks truth and love. And the truth is, as a church, I have to confess that as a church, so much of the last 2 months has been a walk of our discernment of what we believe God is doing. And it's been the scariest two, 3 months I have ever pastored a church ever. I never will do it again, but I would never trade it for anything. All right, so that sounded weird. Let me say that again. What I meant to say was, the last 3 months have been step of step of step of having no idea what is coming, but believing we are walking in obedience to the steps God is giving to us. And it has been the scariest 3 months of my pastoral experience. I didn't mean to say we'll never do it again. Hopefully that's all we do. Hopefully that's all we do. In fact, one of my greatest fears about our church is that someday we finally get some building or something, some space with day theater, whatever. We have a space and we start getting comfortable and we stop living by faith. And we stop asking the question, God, what are you leading us into? But to not let comfort happen. It's been scary. And what I see in Samuel, I want to just reflect with you for a few minutes on, because Samuel teaches us a few lessons on how to hear the voice of God. The story of Samuel was, he was a young man. He was born to a mother, Hannah, who couldn't have children. Hannah prayed to God. God gave her a child. Hannah takes her son, Samuel. By the way, the word Samuel means God hears. His name, no question, is connected to having walked through infertility. His name is connected to his story. She couldn't have kids. She prayed. God gave her a kid. And so she names her son God Hears. And she takes her only son. Can you imagine doing this? I can't imagine doing this as a father of an only son. She takes her only son and she gives her only son to the ministry. She gives him over to the temple, which at the time was a common practice that you would take your firstborn and you would give your firstborn to God. You would dedicate your firstborn child to God. And so she takes her son, Samuel, here, Samuel, God hears. She takes Samuel, gives Samuel to God, and says to God, God, do what you want. If you give me this son, I won't put a razor on his head. I won't give him wine. He'll be set apart for you. He'll be a Nazarite. He'll be set apart, God, for you. And she takes this son and gives it to God. And when she takes her son and gives it over to God, one of my favorite parts of the Hannah story is that the text says that every year, Hannah would go and visit her son, and she would bring with her a little blanket she made for him. It's one of my favorite details in this story. She doesn't just give him to God. She keeps going and giving these little blankets. These little blankets of love, you know. My son's very first blanket he ever got was this Star Wars. It had all the Star Wars characters on it that his aunt made for him. And that is his favorite blanket because it was his first blanket and it was the blanket that was given to him that actually meant something to him because he has an obsession with Star Wars, no doubt, but it certainly comes because it was from the family and the aunt loves him. But that blanket, she would take these blankets and give Samuel these blankets. And there is Samuel given to God. But the environment where Samuel was worshiping God was a very horrible environment. The Bible gives us this picture that the environment, the temple, the house of the Lord was in complete disarray. One of the first lines in chapter 3 is, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. God was quiet. He wasn't speaking loudly. In fact, there's a line right after that that says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. You get the feeling that the lamp of God is just about to go out. Even later on in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to all the churches and he says, if you don't repent, do you remember what he says? I will take your lamp away. This image of the lamp here is the image of God's presence. And as it says that the lamp of God had not go out, it's almost like it's saying, these are the darkest days imaginable. And what's even worse, Eli, the guy who oversees this young man, Samuel, Eli, who's the head priest at the time, had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, who were very sinful in the eyes of God. And they were so sinful in the eyes of God. Why? Because two things. They were stealing from the sacrifices that people were bringing to God. And secondly, they were sleeping with women in the temple. And God had said, that is not okay. That is not okay. And Eli never stood up to his sons. And so the picture is dire. The word of the Lord was rare. The lamp of God is about to go out. It's almost this dire situation. And yet in the middle of this dire situation, God speaks. Samuel one night goes to bed. He puts his head down on the pillow. And by the way, can I point out, he sleeps, the text says, right next to the Ark of the Covenant. Not bad. Not bad. I mean, he's close to God. He's so close to God. He's so close to the presence of God. And he goes to bed one night. And as he goes to bed, what happens? He falls asleep. And in the middle of his sleep, he hears his voice, Samuel. Samuel. And he wakes up, he sort of immediately wakes up, and his first response, which is super interesting, his first response is, he doesn't say, yes, Lord, is that you? By the way, he was a little kid, so I don't know how he'd have known it was God, but God speaks to him. Samuel, Samuel. Was it quiet? Was it loud? I don't know, but he speaks to him. Samuel. And he doesn't go, yes, Lord, I'm here. I can hear your voice. Look at what he does. Samuel runs into Eli's room, who is sleeping in the next room. He runs in. And he says to Eli, he says, yeah, what master, what do you want? And what's going on here? Why in the world is he running to Eli? He thought Eli was speaking to him. It was God speaking to him, but he thought it was Eli speaking to him. He runs into the other room and he says, Eli, what is it? What do you want? And Eli, what does he do? He does what any father would do. Go back to bed. Go back to bed. It's 2 a.m. What are you doing? Get your own glass of water. There's nothing bad in the dark. You're fine. We'll eat breakfast in 5 hours. Go back to bed. He runs in, and Eli does what any father would do. Go back to bed. Samuel goes back to bed. Second time. Samuel. Samuel wakes up this time. He runs out. He goes, Eli. At this point, he's confused. What? What do you want? And Eli, like any father, is at this point getting frustrated. Did you not hear me the first time? Go to your room. Sleep it off. I didn't say anything. Probably be nicer than that. I'm a good father. I'm not mean to my son, ever. He goes back to bed. Who is speaking to me? Third time. Samuel, Samuel. This time, Samuel wakes up. He runs into Eli's room, and he's got to be so confused at this point. What? What do you want? And Eli all of a sudden has an epiphany. It's taken him 3 times. By the way, the number of times in the Bible that something has to happen 3 times before somebody gets something is crazy. Happens in the Bible all the time. God has to do things 3 times in triads all the time because we're idiots. He runs in and finally Eli gets what's happening. Is that Samuel, this little kid, is hearing the voice of God. And he says to him, which by the way, I think is the most important job for any pastor, any minister, any person who wants to follow Jesus and minister to other people, he says to him, here's what you're going to do. He teaches him how to hear God's voice. He says, go back and say to God, yes, my master, what do you want to say? Your servant is listening. Eli sends his son back in. Samuel says, God, what is it? Your servant is listening. And then God gives him a vision and he speaks to him. What I think is so fascinating in this story is that Samuel assumes it's his dad, it's Eli speaking to him and not God. This actually happened to us once, about 4 months ago. So I got to draw a picture for how our house works. So the way our house works is we have a basement, a regular, normal, like normal human floor, and then whatever the attic would be for the animals or something like that. So we've got, okay, the upstairs where Quinn and I sleep. And so the way that our house is separated is that the stairs go up right next to Elliot's room, 6-year-old. The stairs go right up. Right next to his room, so the stairs going up, but he has to open a door first. And this is one of the loudest doors you've ever opened. Okay. So when he turns the knob on this door, everybody in the whole house can hear it. It's like, ah! It's like demons screaming, ah! Turns it. About 4 months ago, it was about 2 a.m, and the door opens. And I call down the stairs. I say, Elliot. And he goes, Papa, why did you call me? He heard my voice. He heard me speak to him. I didn't call him. I don't do that at night. And he calls up the stairs and he goes, Papa, why'd you say my name? And I did exactly what Eli did. I said, get back into bed. I didn't say anything. We're fine. I love you. And I came down and I walked him back into his bed. And he's in his bed and he looks at me and he says, Dad, I heard you say my name, Elliot, Elliot. And I went back to bed and I woke up in the morning and I had this distinct sense that God was calling my son. But that when God was calling my son, what did he hear? How did he hear God's voice? He actually heard my voice when he heard God's voice. And that he couldn't discern the difference between my voice and God's voice because I am the voice of authority in his life. And so when he heard God, I think God was calling to him because there's been all this crazy spiritual stuff going on in my son's life. And I think God was calling him. And I did what Eli did. I just needed the kid to go back to bed. And the next morning I woke up and I sat down. I said, tell me what happened last night. He goes, I heard somebody call my name, Elliot, Elliot. And I said, here's the deal. Okay, here's what you're going to do. First of all, son, that wasn't me. I think God was calling you. And his eyes get, really? He said, I think it was him. I think God was calling you. And he goes, well, what do I do next time? And I said, the next time you hear your voice like that, here's what I want you to say. I want you to just say, God, are you speaking to me? Because when he heard my son heard God speak to him, but he couldn't distinguish. It was exactly what was going on here. And that's why, friends, I think God speaks to us all the time. And we get confused and we think, is it God or is it the movie I just watched? Have you watched Braveheart and gone, God spoke to me in that thing? Have you watched a movie and you get done and it was like a sermon? And you walk away and you go, that was God. That was God spoke to me about something about who I am and what God wants me to be. Have you read a book that has nothing to do with God and you read it and you go, there's something about God in that for my life? See, I think God speaks to us all the time, but we get confused and we think that it's something that it's not. We run into Eli and think it's Eli speaking to us when in reality, it's God speaking to us. I think all that happens all the time. That God speaks to us, but we get confused about whether it's God or not. When we watched the eclipse, this was so funny. When we finished the eclipse, the Verbals came with us and watched the eclipse this last week. It was so fun. So stinking fun 2 weeks ago. We got done with the eclipse. We saw the whole thing. 100% totality. In Salem, we saw the whole thing. And the entire next day, my son was convinced that that's all he wants to study for the rest of his life is eclipses. There was something in that eclipse that awakened him to the mystery of the world. And now he wants to study eclipses. I don't even know what you'd call that. An eclipsologist. He just wants to study eclipses his whole life. He wants to travel the world and just look at eclipses. There was something in that that was calling to my son. There was something that was naming him. There was something that was crying out to him. I think God does that all the time. He speaks to us all the time. We just don't know if it's God or not. What's even crazier, by the way, what's even crazier about this? Look at where Samuel worked. He worked in the temple. He ministered before the Lord. He had a mom who feared the Lord. His name, identity was about God. He was around religion. He slept next to the Ark of the Covenant. He was around as much religion as you can be around. Yet he did not discern the voice of God. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. You know what's crazy to me about that is you can be around a religion all the time. You spend your life around religion and still not be able to hear the voice of God. Yep. You can simultaneously, friends, I think that this is true, be completely non-religious and God still speaks to you. Because here's why. God does not play favorites. Every human being he's made, he loves. You can be completely religious, spend your life in the temple, sleep next to the Ark of the Covenant and still not be able to discern the voice of God. You can be outside the church, God, and I think God can speak to you. Did you know this is true? This is true. This is not stuff I'm coming up with. Do you know that Muslims are coming to faith like crazy right now all across the world because they're having dreams about Jesus? Have you read about this? It is a global phenomenon. Millions of Muslims are meeting Jesus because they are having dreams of Jesus. I tell my environmentalist friends this all the time because I got a ton of environmentalist friends. And I'm always telling him, you understand that being an environmentalist proves the existence of God. Because friends, when you care for the environment as much as you do, I just love asking the question, why do you care so much? And they care so much. They don't even know why they care so much. They care so much because they've been created by God to care about what God cares about. I think environmentalists scream something to us of a creator God who loves his creation. I have a dear friend who was in seminary. His salvation story, he met Jesus. He was literally in the act, he was having sex with somebody that he wasn't supposed to be having sex with. And he was literally in the middle, he told his story in class. It was almost a little too intimate. I was like, you should put that in a paper, but not in a public forum. He was literally having sex. And God spoke to him and said, this is not what I have for you. And he went and he met, he had this encounter with Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying God doesn't show favoritism. And what I'm trying to say is this, that God is trying to speak to every human being in the world because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all people to myself. Jesus is trying to draw all people to himself. Little Samuel. How do you know the voice? Here's a question I think everybody in this room would want to know. How do you know if what you are hearing from God is from God or the devil? Here's how you know. Two things. Number one, the devil's mother tongue is fear, shame, and guilt. And when the voice that you hear is fear, shame, and guilt, that is not the voice of God. Fear, shame, and guilt across the board. If it makes you scared, if it makes you feel like you're a horrible person, and if it makes you feel like you're just a guilty person, that's the voice of the devil. The mother tongue of Satan is shame, guilt, and fear. How do we know it's God? Here's how we know it's God. Did you notice that God said to Samuel, he spoke his name? Samuel. Why is that important? Jesus said, the good shepherd speaks the name of the sheep. He knows your name. Why is that good? Because when God speaks, he never gives you truth to beat you up with it. He gives you truth in love. He speaks to you your name. He knows you intimately. He doesn't just speak abstract truth from a distance, spitballing to you things that you need to hear as he stands off with his arms crossed, folded in his arms, looking at you like you're a failure. Whenever God speaks to you, friends, he speaks your name. He speaks as a father who loves you. God never speaks with fear, shame, and guilt. God speaks to you with love. That doesn't mean that he doesn't speak hard truth. In fact, God speaks hard truth to me all the time, but this is normally what it's like. It's normally like God putting his arm around my shoulder and going, you really botched that one, but I love you so much. But whenever the Father gives his hard truth, he always gives us himself as well. He never points his fingers. But the devil is going to point his fingers all the time. You, how could you? You failure. You should be afraid. God's not going to protect you. Those are the mother tongues of the devil. You want to hear from God? You want to hear from God? Then ask him to speak to you. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? I wish it was more complex than that. But ask him. You want God to speak to you? Have you asked him to speak to you? Have you postured yourself in such a way where you're saying, yes, God, your servant is listening? Have you asked him, speak to me, God? As we come to the altar tonight, I guess that would be my invitation to you tonight. This is the most simple invitation I think I've ever given. If you want God to speak to you, just ask. It's not more complex than that. Ask. And keep asking. And then ask again. And keep asking. As we come to the altar tonight, you come to a place filled with grace and mercy and love of a father who wants to speak. Ask him. Would you stand with me? As we come to the altar this evening, you are invited to come and take the elements, the juice and the bread. And as you come, We have an altar here and an altar here. This is not a wall to keep you from God. It is intended to be a place where you can bow down before the Father. If you want to bow, you can. If you want to take communion and go back, there's gluten-free elements. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to the God who calls people. We come to the God who calls people. We come to the God who speaks to people. We come to the God who names people. And we come to a God who speaks our name because he's intimately in love with us. We come and we cry out and say, God, speak to us. Your servants are listening. Your servants are listening. Speak to your people. We will follow. We will go. Speak to your people. As we come to the altar, would you speak afresh the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus to us, the love of Jesus to us. Speak the love and affirmation and joy of Jesus to us. Let's come, friends. Let's come to the altar. Let's come and celebrate and ask God, speak to us.
You've been listening to the podcast of Theophilus Church. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by what you've heard. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.